Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing how to recruit, engage, and retain high-performing multifamily teams. Joining me today in the studio is an author and longtime multifamily industry veteran, Kathy Klemm, owner of Vast Coaching Resources. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you.
So, you know, we had a chance to talk a little bit about your background on the show. Of course, you're very well known in the industry, especially in the Houston area where our show is broadcast from. You got out of the day-to-day operation of the industry a little while ago, and now are doing your coaching business, and you're writing books, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But the topic of how to recruit, engage, and retain high-performing multifamily teams is something that I know is probably near and dear to your heart over the years that you put in doing that.
Yes, it is.
So let's talk a little. Let's just jump in and talk a little bit about. Let's take one answer, one question.
Okay.
High-performing multifamily teams. Let's define high-performing just so that everybody has a basis to
right.
consider the question.
Well, when you look at a multifamily property or any team, you can have a team because they may be in the same office together or they have some type of reporting. What makes them high-performing is their ability to work together towards a common goal, for them to understand what that goal is and work together to meet or exceed that goal.
So in other words, just having people that show up for work every day is not necessarily high performing.
Exactly. And sometimes it can really work to your detriment
if
they're not all on the same page.
All right. So let's talk about recruiting. Tell me how you attract or what your advice is on how to attract good candidates.
Right. Well, you know, if you look on Indeed or ZipRecruiter, any type of where somebody's looking for a job, what I've noticed is in the property management field, a lot of people are saying 1 year experience required, 3 year experience required. Well, in the job market today, it's harder and harder to fill positions. So what I'm seeing and where I see people being more successful is being less focused on years of experience in the apartment industry and more focused on the skills or transferable skills that candidates have that they can bring to the table to really fill that team and help that team be high performing.
And what is your recommendation of trying to source these candidates? What are some of the ideas and tips you can give our listeners?
Well, there's a lot of different ways. I mean, here in Houston, for example, the Houston Apartment Association has a job board,
right.
So we can post there. A lot of HR departments or hiring managers use the online monster ZipRecruiter, Indeed, there. One of the best ways I've seen is through employee referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Companies that have really strong employee referral programs seem to attract a better quality people because people are referring people that they know what they can do, and they want them to be a part of the team. So it's beneficial for the person coming in, and it's also beneficial for the employee, especially if they're incentivized for making those referrals. But some of the things I've seen are people, and this was from years ago, but I think it's valuable today, people that go in, like if you're in a restaurant, and you see somebody that is giving exemplary service, and you need a concierge, or you need a good, strong leasing person, give that person your card.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that you're hiring and that you think that they would be a great candidate for something that could be a long-term career for them, because a lot of people don't understand that the apartment business, you don't have to get in it as a job. You can get in it as a long-term career. And I have 40 years of experience saying that was the case with me.
Right, exactly. So when you you know, are looking for someone, for instance, what I keep hearing over and over again from people within the industry is it's so difficult to find maintenance personnel.
Right.
What are your ideas that you can share as far as what should somebody do if they're looking for maintenance personnel?
Well, kind of go far and wide.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look for somebody for a maintenance position, again, a lot of times they're looking for apartment experience, but somebody could have worked in an office building and in the hospitality industry, maintaining a hotel, motel, whatever. Look at those people just as closely and see what their skills are. Also, people coming out of technical programs, mm-hmm. because you have people that may have come out of an AC program or an electrical program, and take those people and don't be afraid to bring them in and train them on the areas that they may not be as strong on, because training internally within a company is one of your best ways to keep those people and to help them develop and stay with your company.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed over the years is everybody does things a certain way and they get comfortable with doing it that way. And then something changes and there are people who are resistant to changing the way they do things.
Yes.
And they lag behind. And the people who adapt to that change and change their style or change the way they operate are able to, you know, meet the needs that they have. It seems like that's kind of what you're describing is that the multifamily industry for years was looking for people that had experience in the industry.
Yes.
But that's harder and harder to find. And there's so many jobs that need to be filled that possibly, you know, your thoughts on find somebody who may have the skills that you need and then train them for the industry. Why is industry slow to adopt those types of things, do you think?
Well, like you said, if it's something that's worked for them in the past, mm-hmm. they want to keep doing it. But I think it's become more and more obvious that those types of things are not working like they did maybe 10 years ago. So it is a change in how you approach, not just the way that you source, but actually how you interview and, you know, and retain people. But I think that if you really put together a plan in a company where say we're going to hire people with transferable skills, knowing that, we are going to have to train them on the job. What type of training program does our company need to put together for each position to make sure that person coming into our industry with the skills that we need knows what they need through working with us to make them one of our best employees?
And I just think you hit on something. You know, based on what you've seen around the country and the industry, there's probably quite a few companies of different sizes that don't really have a comprehensive training program for each position because they've tried to hire people with the skills who have the experience in the industry.
Correct.
So now if it's something that's kind of shifting, they need to put that training. That seems like that's kind of step one to put that training program into place, to create it, I guess, and assign it to somebody who's got the skills to be able to do it.
That's exactly right. And for smaller companies or mid-sized companies that may not have their own training department, one thing that they can do, like for example, in Houston, you know, our Houston Apartment Association has all of the NAA training programs, like for maintenance and for certified apartment manager, certified apartment leasing specialist. So even if you don't have an internal training program, if you can train the specifics for your company and then supplement it with something that your apartment association or Institute of Real Estate Management has that could help train those people, you just bring in what you need and you can put those together to really have a great, well-rounded, not just onboarding, but development program for your incoming and your current employees.
Yeah, and is there something that you would recommend that somebody do if they want to embark on that effort of from scratch creating a training program for each position?
Well, I think that there's probably materials out there or companies that can help you put things together. Sometimes some of your suppliers that you use mm-hmm. can help you put together a core program to help not just test for competencies, but help teach them And they'll work with you and partner with you because it's important to the suppliers and that, you know, in the industry that we're bringing in good people because, you know, they use their parts, they use their supplies. And just partner with whoever's out there that has the best, that seems that it would be the best fit for your organization.
Yeah. And I know that there are some major of the, I guess, the big box suppliers who do have training people that put on seminars and classes for multifamily maintenance personnel and so forth. So that is definitely a resource. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to come back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of how to recruit, engage, and retain high-performing multifamily teams. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is a very special guest. She's an author and a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Kathy Klim, the owner of Vast Coaching Resources. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our guests, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Kathy, we were talking in the first segment about the recruiting aspect of trying to recruit people to become or to add to your high-performing teams. And let's talk about, once you recruit them for the interview, let's talk about the interview. What's important to keep in mind about that?
Well, you know, again, as you're bringing people in, and let's say that you are starting to source people because of their skills instead of their previous apartment experience, you need to be able to have an interview session that really ask questions, open-ended questions about those skills and put them in situations that are specific to the apartment industry so that the person that's being interviewed, you can see how they react and see how they respond to different situations in our industry, mm-hmm. even if they haven't been in it before, because if they have the skills, you want to see how they are going to process the way that things happen in our industry.
And what about pre-employment assessments?
As far as, now a lot of companies do pre-employment assessments. I've worked for companies that during the time I've worked for them, they may have changed two or three times. So as a hiring manager or someone on a property doing an interview and using pre-employment assessments, it's important that you understand what that pre-employment assessment is telling you. A lot of times the assessment companies will match the assessment results with what they're looking for each position. That said, there's a range that for each position. And sometimes assessments don't tell the whole story. They may get, you know, they give you a lot of insight, but read those. If you do the pre-assessment, and a lot of companies do before the interview, make sure that if you're the person doing the interviewing that you've gone through that information, because that can help you form your questions to ask so that you can clarify some issues or get some more information to make sure that that person is a good fit for the job.
Just for the benefit of our listeners, what are some of the assessments that are out there available?
Oh, my gosh. There's DISC, there's the Wunderlich, and they all look for different things. I'm a certified Berkman consultant, and I don't know that that's used much in the multifamily industry, but I use that with a lot of my coaching clients. And any of them, it also depends on how your company is using that assessment. Are they using it to find fits for the positions? Are they using it to put together certain teams? You know what your company's expectation is for those. Also, a lot of companies, especially for maintenance positions, they'll use a skills assessment. And I think that is extremely important, because you don't always have an opportunity to work with the people before they start the job. So it's really good to have an understanding of what they know, and those type of pre-employment tests or skills tests are really good to give you a baseline.
Okay, and then the assessments, the ones that you mentioned, for someone who hasn't used that before, what are the things that those can tell them?
Some of them tell what your ability to have deductive reasoning, your ability to think critically in situations. Some of them are more personality based, that, you know, and that go into what your strengths are in certain areas, and that gives you good information to ask questions. But one of the things that I found in using them, especially in putting together teams, an assessment may come across, and I was getting ready to interview someone, and they were low in an area that normally would not be a fit for the position that I was hiring for. But in the team that this person would be working with, that area was being taken care of by their people. So some of the other areas that they were stronger in, that's what I was looking for to help make my team more well-rounded. That's why it's really good to understand the assessments that you're using in your company and use them to your benefit in formulating the questions that you ask during the interview.
And I would it be helpful for somebody who is going to be using assessments like that to be able to determine and maybe list for each position that they were going to, that they have on a team, what are some of the areas that they need to have those strengths in, so that when they review the assessment, they say, okay, this person has great deductive reasoning. That's a good manager candidate, or whatever it might be.
Yes, and we do that with the Berkman assessment too, and we use it a lot for teams. That way you can see, because you don't want everybody strong in one area. And I'll tell you, there were managers over the years that I would see that would hire people, and they would hire people that are just like them.
Yeah.
Well, if everybody on the property is just like them, then you end up with a team that's not well-rounded and able to handle a lot of different situations. So that's where understanding and maybe even laying out the other employees that are already on the team, laying out their assessments against the candidates will probably pretty quickly show you that where you need to fill in your gaps.
Yeah. And what it sounds to me like is that in an industry where everybody seems to be overworked as far as on the executive level and going through the hiring process, and it's a never-ending thing. I mean, you're always looking for good people. That there's a lot of time that you need to invest in doing your research and checking your assessments and the skill levels of different employees.
Well, and another thing is, go back and look at your job descriptions, because a lot of hiring managers use their job descriptions in their posts for hiring. Go back through and look and really almost give a percentage of what skills are needed the most. I've had coaching clients that have not wanted to apply for jobs because there were 2 points on a job description that they didn't have proficiency in. But when I went through and looked at it with them, I said, how much of the job do you think this is? Well, I don't know. It may not be very often. Well, then apply for the job. This may be something that they can train you on, or something that they don't use very often either, but they put it in there because some people with job descriptions throw in everything but the kitchen sink.
Right.
And if you really focus on, in your job postings and when you're interviewing, the things that are most important, a lot of the other things can be taught.
We've got a few minutes left in this segment. Let's talk a little bit about the kind of interview questions that you would want to have prepared. What's your recommendation on getting those together?
I think that they need to be behavioral based or situational based. A lot of people, you know, they'll ask the questions, open-ended questions are the best because you can get people more comfortable in talking about themselves. But what you want to know is, like, for example, if you're in a workplace and let's say that I'm interviewing for an assistant manager's position. A resident comes in and is very upset, wants to talk to nobody but the manager, hasn't paid his rent, and he's raising his voice. How would you handle that situation? Now, you know this person may not have a property management background, but what you want to hear from them is, well, I would talk to them in a calm tone of voice, lower than theirs, because you don't want to match them. Ask them to sit down. If the manager's not there, the manager can't meet with them. Explain to them your position. Tell them you're there to help them. And sometimes all the resident wants is for somebody to listen to them. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten calls to the corporate office to me from residents, and they tell me the same thing that they've told the people on site. The difference is, and it's not that I call the site or change their decision or anything, but I fully listen to what they have to say, and I'll tell them that I understand that, and I'm sorry that they've had this situation. Unfortunately, our policy indicates this for a reason, and hopefully it won't happen again. Now, do they walk away 100% happy? Maybe not, but they do feel that somebody has listened to their problem, even if you can't give them the answer that they want.
And, you know, in today's time with all of the, the technology that we have available and coming hopefully out of the pandemic where everybody was working remotely and doing Zoom, I understand that from some people in the industry, they were doing interviews by Zoom.
Still do.
Yeah. So what is your recommendation for the best way to do an interview and how much time should you allow?
Well, you know, even before Zoom became so popular, I know that people did phone interviews too, but I think that Zoom is a good way to interview more quickly because a lot of people, you know, driving across town, things like that, they may have another job so they can't come out. But Zoom is good, but again, make sure that both of your camera and the candidate's camera is working, that you make them comfortable. And then when you can also bring them in the office, just make sure that you're not sitting across the desk from them. Sit on the same side of the desk so that there's not a barrier between you.
Right.
It helps have a more open conversation. And either way, I think that you can get some really good understanding of the person, but it's based on the questions you ask and how you actively listen to those answers.
Okay. All right. We are going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegiant's access control product offerings, please visit usallegiant.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic of how to recruit, engage, and retain high-performing multifamily teams. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is a very special guest. She's an author and a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Kathy Clem, who's the owner of Vast Coaching Resources. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Allegiant, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Kathy, we discussed the interview, and so in a perfect world, interview goes well, someone's hired. What's next?
Well, the next thing to do is to, after you've done their background checks, their drug tests, whatever your company requirements are, is you also communicate the terms of their employment. A lot of people will do it verbally, but it also needs to be written in the form of a letter, and that needs to include what their benefits are, their paid time off, their insurance, anything that they need to know that will impact them when they're on the job. And one thing at this point that I do want to bring up, if there are people that you interviewed that for whatever reason were not a fit for the position or that you did not extend an offer to, it's really important that you communicate to them, even if it's by email, that you're not moving forward with them in the position. I see a lot of times where someone interviews for a job and never hears anything back. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to take that extra step because they may be the best fit for the next position you have open. And if they see that you failed to communicate with them when they didn't make it for the position they originally hired for, they may be less interested in the next position.
Yeah, no, that's an important thing. And it's really kind of common courtesy, too, I think.
Exactly.
So, so one question I have is, when you mention communicating and writing with the, what the policies and the terms of the position are and so forth, that seems like with a company that's large enough that they would have their HR department, that they would be involved in that.
Many of them are.
And so my question is, in a situation like that, is it the HR department, do you find, that is doing the hiring process, the interviewing, the testing, and all of that? And then at what point in time does the actual person who would the individual be reporting to, what point do they get involved, or should they get involved
in the
hiring process?
Again, I think it depends on the size of the company and the way the company's set up. A lot of times the HR department has recruiters, so they do the sourcing, they do the initial interviews, they have them take the pre-employment test, and because, you could have an ad on Indeed and get 300 resumes the next day. So it's good, it's good if you have an HR department or somebody that is dedicated to doing that part of the process. Then when it's narrowed down, normally the hiring manager in those situations will get maybe the top five candidates, and they would interview those people to determine if one of those five is a good fit. In smaller companies, sometimes the hiring manager may be the manager on site or a regional manager in the corporate office, and they have to go through all of those steps. So it just really depends on the size of the company and how they're set up.
All right, and then Once you communicate that, let's talk about onboarding. What do you recommend for that?
That is one of the most important things. You know, in our business, in the apartment business, your first impression of the person's residency is the day they move into that apartment and how that apartment looks. Well, it's the same thing when you bring on a new employee. If you think about yourself and starting a new job, what are some of the things that you want to see? Well, you would like the team to welcome you and to acknowledge that you're starting. It's really good if you're able to get passwords set up for anything that they need for any training or any computer systems or software that they need to have access to. If your company does business cards, how nice is it for that person to walk in and their business cards already be made and on their desk? It's a very small cost, but it can make a very big impact on that person. Mm-hmm. Even things like, don't just throw people in to the job. Now, remember, we've talked about bringing people in from other industries, mm-hmm. but I know from experience, sometimes those positions are open because we haven't been able to fill them. So we get a person in that's a new hire, and we're like, yes, we get some relief. But what we need to realize is those people, this is their first day, week, month on the job. If you take that time up front in your onboarding to give them the training they need so they can do the job the right way, you would be amazed at how much retention you get with that person because you've taken that extra time. And I know it puts a stress on the team because they're still shorthanded, but you want that person to be successful in their job. And that's the best way to do it is to train them up front.
And so let's talk a little bit about, is it important to set goals for this employee as far as, different milestones of training and where to be at a certain point in their employment? And if so, how do you communicate that?
Yes, a lot of companies will have a training set up where this is what you do the first week, the first month, the first 90 days, and they track it in their HRIS system or their system where they keep all the information on employees so that the employee and their manager can see where they are in that process and make sure that they're staying on target with those training goals. Also, a lot of companies have mentor programs. So a new employee comes in and they're partnered with somebody in a similar position at that community or maybe a sister community that works with them to make sure that they're there to answer any questions, or because sometimes that person feels more comfortable speaking with someone that's on their same position level. So if you have those types of processes set up within companies, it makes it easier for the employee to navigate all of their onboarding requirements.
That to me sounds like one of the most important things you could do is to provide them with a mentor who's an employee, as you said, on the same level, who is doing a similar job but is successful at that job.
Correct.
So that they can, if nothing else, just through osmosis, just by being around that person, learn the things that they need to be doing and how to do things better and all the efficiencies that person's been able to pick up over the years. Is that something that you think a lot of people do, or is it something that's still not used?
Some of it maybe. I think that a lot of companies do have mentor programs, and they have it where they also incentivize a person that's being the mentor. Think about it. That person at times, if they're mentoring one or two new employees, that's taking them away from their job. But what a great way to acknowledge a good employee by bringing them into this type of program and letting them know that you appreciate their skills and want them to share what they know with others, but incentivize that person too so that, you know, that the time that they have to extra time they have to spend to do their job so that they can help others, that they feel like that upper management is understanding and rewarding that.
You know, and I think that probably informally, there are, that it may be human nature for people to kind of gravitate towards the people who have the knowledge that they need to have. But if you put it into a formal type of program where the incentivization is there as well as the acknowledgement for both parties, I just think that would be a great thing to do. And I hope a lot of companies who aren't doing it consider that, because they've got valuable resources and they're already trained and great employees that they have.
Right, and that can be done no matter what size company you have.
Yes, yeah. Let's talk about the one thing, the meet and greet process of introducing a new employee, not only to their coworkers, but to residents if they're working on property.
Yes, that's so important, too. And I know that there is a lot of turnover in the apartment industry, but, you know, the residents are the bread and butter. They pay our paycheck. And let's celebrate somebody new coming in. Let's have the when the residents come in or send out an email, we'd like to welcome, you know, Joe Smith is our new maintenance coordinator, whatever. And that opens up that when a resident comes, oh, Joe, hey, it's nice to meet you. I saw the email that you started. It just starts the process of building the connection with that employee, with the residents in the community.
Yeah. And I guess from an industry standpoint, I've noticed in the last few years that through different social media, whether it be LinkedIn or Facebook or something like that, that there are companies that will welcome their new person online, you know, through social media. And I think that's probably good for a lot of reasons, but it certainly would make the new employee feel welcome.
It's a great way to do it and to get that information out there and also to let people know that, you know, that this is our team, we're proud of them. And, you know, it can be done for the one-year anniversary, the five-year
sure.
anniversary when they do something great. So it can be used for a lot of things.
Yeah, and I would have guessed that that's something that, you know, I've been around a while. I know you have
Me too.
But that wasn't even something that was available, you know, back in
exactly.
the day.
Exactly. So. No, you'd have to post a letter to everybody's door with tape or a tack, and no. That wouldn't happen very often.
That's right. All right, well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of how to recruit, engage, and retain high-performing multifamily teams. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today in the studio is an author and a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Kathy Klim, owner of Vast Coaching Resources. Kathy, we talked in the last segment about when you hire somebody, the steps you should go through to welcome them and get training started and so forth. So let's talk about engagement. Once that person is hired, what are your thoughts on that?
Having the whole team engaged in what they're doing and working for the common goal is one of the most important ways to ensure that that team is going to be a high-performing team. When you receive communications, for example, from the corporate office, or if there are new initiatives or programs or benchmarks that corporately are being communicated to the sites. It's very, very important that that be communicated where the person that's the base person on the property, from the porter all the way up to the manager, that they all have the same understanding of the information and what it is. And sometimes that may mean to present it in another language. It may be to have one communication for the corporate office and a separate communication for the apartment communities, giving the same information, but really making it so it connects to each of those people. And the more clearly and more often you communicate, the better connected the people at the property are with the company and with the organization as a whole. And from a manager's perspective on the property, if they have weekly meetings, they don't have to be an hour. They can be 10 minutes. Mm. But anything that the manager can do to bring her team together and to communicate and to listen if there are issues and get answers to those and report back to the team, that team knows that that manager is leading by example, walking the talk, and doing what they need to do to make sure that the team can just plow through and meet and exceed all the goals that have been set for them.
What are some of the different ways that you can create that engagement?
I think a lot of it comes into just the way, the active listening part. When you have a meeting, you can have an agenda, but give the employees a safe space for time if they have an issue or something that comes up or something that's not working. If there are any disagreement among staff members, handling that quickly and effectively so that each person that's involved in the conflict knows that there needs to be a resolution and they work together to find that. But also making sure that you have a fun work environment too. You know, property management can be stressful. When you deal with people in the place where they live, there's nothing quite like it. So just going on and making sure that you're able to have some fun too, whether it's, you know, doing a maintenance week where you celebrate your maintenance people or your assistant manager, leasing, whatever, and just really have the team pull together to make sure that everybody is on the same page and enjoys what they're doing.
You know, on a property, for instance, in a community, on your team, you could have people, obviously, that speak different languages. You could have people that come from different generations.
Yes.
What's your recommendations on how to accommodate that?
I think really that companies need to understand that they may need to do some internal education about the generational differences. You know, if you're bringing somebody in that's a millennial and you have a baby boomer that's a manager, that baby boomer had to go through certain steps to get where they're going. The millennial, the first day on the job, they may want to know, well, when can I have your job? And the manager's like, it took me 5 years to get here. Well, that may have been 20 years ago, and that person's situation may be different. So understanding the generational differences and also having each generation understand what they can learn and gain from others in the workplace. The person that just started may want to know where they're going to be next, but they could teach the manager maybe something on the technology end where the manager is the knowledge expert and knows more about the verbal communication, things like that, and can help the newcomer that may be a millennial with that go through that maze that they may not be as comfortable with.
How about cultural differences on your team?
Cultural differences, that when you have people that speak different languages, well, Spanish, for example, Spanish may be their first language, and they may have an English proficiency. That doesn't mean that they understand everything that you say. Mm-hmm. That's where the clear communication and really listening and asking questions to make sure that the communication is understood is extremely important. Whenever you can have communication in multiple languages, depending on your team, that's also extremely beneficial, and the employees appreciate it too.
And I know you talked before, but let's talk a little bit more about it, about active listening and consistent feedback.
Okay. Well, when as far as active listening, you know, when someone comes in to tell you about a problem, you may have heard about it from two or three other people, but you haven't heard about it from that person's perspective. So as a manager, just sitting back and giving that person the space to say what's on their mind. And, you know, one of the things I always say, well, what would your plan be to fix this? Or what responsibility do you take in the situation having happened in the first place? And it may take the person off guard, but it also makes them think, oh, well, if I wouldn't have done this, then this may not have happened. So by actively listening and picking up the cues from the person, you're able to work through the conflict much more quickly.
Okay. We're going to go into a bullet round because I want to transition to something else that I think is important for our listeners.
No problem.
To discuss with you. Let's talk about where do we go from here and promoting employee growth and development. Your thoughts.
Right. Anything that you can do with your employees, either internally with training or externally through an association, is extremely important to let that person know that they're valued not for just what they're doing now, but what they can do for the company in the future.
And then lateral versus vertical growth.
One of my favorite subjects, if you're a leasing agent, you may be the best salesperson the company has. The way that their career ladder works, the next move is assistant manager, you may not be the best assistant manager they've ever had. So it's important for companies to provide opportunities for every level that is consistent with the path that person is a best fit for.
What about emphasizing industry-related education?
Anything that you can do, like I said, apartment associations have certification programs and that companies either can pay all or part of. Anything that you can make available to your employees for their development also helps the company in its growth.
And finally, before we transition, leading by example.
I always do walk the talk. I can't tell you, as when I was an area manager or an area director with UDR, I'd walk a property in California, wherever, and if there was trash on the ground, I'd stop and pick it up. Don't expect people to do things that you wouldn't do yourself. And and if you're trying to lead people, don't be going in an opposite direction.
All right. Well, we're going to leave the topic here, but I do want to let our listeners know that there's something very exciting I want to talk about with you, Kathy, and that is I mentioned in your introduction in each segment that you're an author and you've got a book called Speak It in Spanish, and it is Workplace Spanish Made Easy for the Multifamily Industry. Let's talk a little bit about that, and I know it's near and dear to your heart as far as why you did that. I've got a copy of the book in front of me, and it is very comprehensive, in-depth, and an unbelievable resource for any multifamily property that has Spanish-speaking employees to make communication easier. But tell us a little bit about the book.
Right. Well, this is 40 years in the making. Mm-hmm. I graduated with a major in communication and Spanish, and learned pretty quickly on moving to Houston and working in the apartment industry how much Spanish is needed. When I retired from full-time property management, I had a base work of the book that I wrote. And what I've done is put together a book that puts together the parts of speech. But basically, if you have a verb and a noun, you can make a sentence. Mm-hmm. And then you can add context to it with adverbs, adjectives, whatever. The way that I did the book is for people that either had Spanish in high school or for people that have never spoken a word of Spanish, because I do the pronunciation for each word for them. And in doing that, you don't have to go back and wonder how it's said or be self-conscious. You learn as you go along. It's set up as a workbook. It's coil bound so that when you open it up, it lays flat. And at the end of each section, I've left pages where you can make notes and do your own sentences and phrases that work most. Now, it's for the multifamily industry, but it can be used for construction, development, for suppliers. I've had a lot of suppliers buy the book for their in-house salespeople, and also that they bought to give as gifts for their clients. So when you go through it, you learn and you take away what you want to take away. Can you also learn to speak to your residents with this? Yes. I didn't focus on that because to me that may require a little higher level. But as far as basic understanding and being able to connect, to me, it's an extremely good resource. And honestly, the connection part, I've had people that have used it that their Spanish speakers want the book as much as the English speakers. And I scratched my head for a while and I started asking questions and found out that the Spanish speakers liked it because they saw a connection that they never had with the English speaking employees, because they were working together so that the English speaker could learn Spanish. But now the English speaker also felt more comfortable speaking English and saw this as a resource also. So it's really a win-win, and I think it'll take teams up to the next level as far as increasing their efficiency and their productivity, because there is better understanding and connection among the team members.
Yeah, and for our listeners, if you haven't done so already, get your pencil and something to write on it out, because in a moment Kathy is going to tell you how you can order this book. But I do, and it'll also be on our website on the episode page. We'll have a link to that. But I wanted to just ask you, what type of response have you gotten from your the people who purchased the book?
So far, it's really been great. I've done a soft launch on the book, and I've had orders come in for 40 books here, 20 books here. Surprisingly, almost as much from suppliers as from property owners. I've had people go online and buy the book, and Speak It in Spanish has a Facebook and Instagram and a LinkedIn page. And people are going and posting when they get their book in the mail and posting that they've gotten it and how excited they are. So even if I don't know they've ordered it, normally I find out on the social media pages, because they're letting me know and other people know that they've gotten their copy.
So here we go. Get your pencils ready. Tell everybody how they can order the book.
If you go to speakitinspanish.com and you can preview the book, it shows different pages of the book, and you can also order it from there. And also the website has different resources. And if you follow the social media pages for Speak It in Spanish, every day there's something new as far as vocabulary, phrase of the day, word of the day, customs, things like that. So this week you're learning all the days of the week in Spanish and how to pronounce them. So just go to speakitinspanish.com and follow on social media. You'll also see most weeks there's a discount coupon at the top of my website. And I hope you buy it, enjoy it, and please go on the website and leave any feedback also, because we're interested in what products to do next.
Great. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you about coaching, how could they do that?
They can email me at Kathy@VRichardCoaching.com.
And that's Kathy with a K.
Kathy with a K, K-A-T-H-Y.
Well, fantastic. I'm definitely going to have you back. We've got a lot more to talk about. This was great. And please, anybody go out, look at this book. It is really written for the multifamily industry. If you have Spanish-speaking employees on your properties, you need to get this book so you can take your teams to the next level. Anyway, we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.